Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
They took the credit for your second symphony, rewritten by machine on new technology. And now I understand the supernova scene.
As I was saying before I was interrupted, if you're just joining us, we are preempting your regularly scheduled encore episode of Celebrity Family Feud to bring you this special report. I'm happy to be here tonight with you.
Well, except for on Sinclair Nexstar stations, they ran a news program last night, right? I've always got my DVR set to record the three main late-night shows, and then I always delete them the next day because I rarely watch them. But every once in a while, if there's an interesting interview or if there's some notable event that I'm curious what they're going to say, or if I happen to see it shows up as news, oh, well, they're doing this. Okay, fine. It's worth having. Of course, last night, couldn't, and it recorded the other thing that was on Channel 3, our news partners at Channel 3. They're Sinclair-owned, so, I mean, it's not like you might think, well, WEAR made this. No, Sinclair owns them. Sinclair made the choice, you know, so you hold accountability for Sinclair, not for WAR. Anyway, and also Nexstar stations. So if you were going to watch Jimmy, you had to watch him on, what, Hulu or Disney Plus, or, you know, do like Andrew McKay did and get up this morning and watch him on YouTube. Because I did. I watched him this morning on YouTube. Anyway, you know, he talked about the other hosts reaching out, and it was kind of an interesting mix of mostly sincere comments, not so much the jokes. You know, it was an odd moment, but it's an odd moment. I mean, you know, I'm not blaming him. It would have been odd for him to come back and not address a lot of the stuff. It would have been weird if he just kind of went right back into normal programming. So instead, he talks about getting contacted by other show hosts, even in other countries.
Conan O'Brien, James Corden, Arsenio, Kathy, Wanda, Chelsea, even Jay reached out. I heard from late night hosts in other countries, from Ireland and from Germany. The guy in Germany offered me a job. Can you imagine? This country has become so authoritarian, the Germans are like, come here. Come loose.
I mean, that's earned. That's the problem, is when you have the government telling late night hosts that they should get their licenses revoked, or that the broadcasters who air their content should get their licenses revoked because he's not funny and he doesn't give the president charitable enough coverage. That's bad stuff. That's really, really bad stuff. It's a unique moment in American history. The last, as somebody earlier had texted and said, the last time I can remember this was like Nixon stifling the Smothers Brothers. I mean, it's been a while since we had to deal with the guy. Well, you know, deplatforming on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube by either the entities themselves or by the Biden administration during COVID. It's not that we haven't ever seen it, but we haven't, you know, they denied it. Right? I mean, they pretended it didn't happen. You say, well, that's good. They lied. Well, it's better than the chairman of the FCC out in public bragging about it. Yeah. Because at least they knew enough to try to hide it. You know, when Brendan Carr is bragging about doing Trump's bidding and trying to get rid of licenses for stations that choose to air content the president doesn't like, that's really bad. Well, they did it first. Oh, okay. So does that make it good that we do it? Figure out your principles, man. Anyway, so he actually said thanks to Ted Cruz and other people who defended his right, even though they, you know, can't stand him. I would fall into that category. He wasn't thanking me, but, you know, I am in the category of, if Jimmy Kimmel goes away and learns how to become a gardener or build roads, you know, I think the world's a better place, because he's not funny anymore and he's mostly just vile. But it's not going to be up to the government to make that call. That's going to be up to his bosses and the public who watch or don't watch. That's the key distinction. And he thanked the people who stand up and had the courage to stand up for him. And he had a very emotional moment, frankly, where, and I know a lot of, if you hate Jimmy Kimmel, you probably hear this all as crocodile tears. And I understand. But one of the things, there's a lot of lessons I'm always trying to communicate, okay? And one of the things I hope you get from this show is the effort always and I mean always, to try to hear the people that you can't stand as charitably as you can. Now, there's human nature, but, you know, try always to hear the possibility that somebody, even if it's momentary, is being sincere in what they say.
I've been hearing a lot about what I need to say and do tonight, and the truth is, I don't think what I have to say is going to make much of a difference. If you like me, you like me. If you don't, you don't. I have no illusions about changing anyone's mind. But I do want to make something clear because it's important to me as a human, and that is, you understand that it was never my intention to make light of the murder of a young man. I don't think there's anything funny about it. I posted a message on Instagram on the day he was killed, sending love to his family and asking for compassion, and I meant it, and I still do. Nor was it my intention to blame any specific group for the actions of what it was obviously a deeply disturbed individual. That was really the opposite of the point I was trying to make, but I understand that to some that felt either ill-timed or unclear, or maybe both. And for those who think I did point a finger, I get why you're upset. If the situation was reversed, there's a good chance I'd have felt the same way.
I hear that as sincere. Now, whether his admiration for Erica Kirk's comments about forgiveness, whether his self-confession of being, you know, a follower of Jesus Christ and taking teachings of the Bible seriously, whether that holds over time and whether he expresses charity towards Trump or, you know, forgiveness toward the people who attack him and send, you know, death threats to him and his family, which is, I'm always amazed by that kind of stuff. You know, I've been lucky enough never have to endure that, but I know people who do my job have to endure that kind of stuff, and politicians get that kind of stuff, and it's disturbing. And can you imagine being in a world where people are threatening your life and your family and all that? It's horrible all around. But I love that he came out and said explicitly, which is a good thing for him to say.
Many friends and family members on the other side who I love and remain close to, even though we don't agree on politics at all. I don't think the murderer who shot Charlie Kirk represents anyone. This was a sick person who believed violence was a solution, and it isn't. Ever. And also, selfishly...
Amen. This is about 17 minutes or 18 minutes in is when I finally found the first thing I disagreed with him about. It was quite good. I thought it was quite compelling. And I just won't be watching again tonight because I don't normally watch the show. It'll be back to being what it was, which is, well, you know, I'm not going to watch tonight. 7:17 on News Radio. I don't know when it's going to come back on Sinclair, by the way, either. I'm kind of curious. I'm curious to see when that happens, if that happens. John Pickens has got traffic on the five. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Gulf Breeze Natural Gas. Hurricane season is here. Gulf Breeze Natural Gas reminds you to be 1 week ready. To learn more, visit gulfbreezenaturalgas.com. Still dealing with an earlier accident that happened on Davis Highway southbound. Traffic is still backed up all the way to 9 Mile due to an earlier accident there. And so you definitely want to take 9 Mile and try to get on I-10 westbound from there. Also, if you are on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 9 to 12 minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 90 southbound, trying to get into Pensacola, is seeing about a 9 to 12 minute delay in that area too. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about that next vehicle and you're wanting to find a good selection of them, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars, you know, 1 to 4 years young, low miles, 10 to 30 or 40,000 miles. Included with a 10-year warranty or 100,000 miles because they're only selling you cars that are good, that they will stand by, they'll take care of. In fact, I am never not floored when I think about this. I bought a lot of cars in my life. I mean, probably not as many as some people, but I bought enough that I know that when the used car dealer that sells me a car calls me 6 months after I bought the car to make sure the car is okay, that's weird. That's unusual. And then a year later, Calvin called me, my sales guy. He's like, is there anything wrong with the car? And I'm like, well, you know, one of the keys doesn't work. Like, the fob works fine, but the physical key inside doesn't work. He said, well, bring it in. We'll cut you a new one. I'm like, well, I bet you will for $150. He said, no, on us. You bought a car expecting to get two keys. You get a car with two keys. So I brought him in the key, and he cut another one, and it took about 10 minutes, and that was it. I'm like, thanks. You know, because my first reaction is, why are you calling me? I already bought the car. You know, like, what do you do? But that's the point. They want you to be happy, and not just at the moment you sign, and not just for the first 50 feet out the door, but, you know, for a long time. That way, when you realize the kind of place that they do business as, you come back to them again and again and again. And I will, of course. They're fantastic. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Coming up next, Major League Baseball has made a change. And I'm going to tell you something in connection with this that is going to, for some of you, it's going to confirm something you might have suspected. For others of you, it's going to make you angry. I don't know how you're going to take it, but it is a fact, and I'm going to present you the fact. What could that be? I don't know. Stick around. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
What is your spiritual blood type? Physically speaking, there are four principal blood types: type A, type B, type AB, and type O. And in case of a physical emergency, it's important that you know what your blood type is. However, in case of a spiritual emergency known as sin, death, and hell, it is important that you know what your spiritual blood type is. The hymn writer famously said, "What can wash away my sins?" The answer? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood is an atoning blood. It is an incorruptible blood. It is a precious blood, and it is the only blood that God the Father accepts as a sufficient payment for our sin emergency. So are you covered by the blood of Jesus? If not, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Call upon Christ today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Ready to level up your future? George Stone Technical College trains students for real-world careers, fast. From welding to healthcare, IT to public safety, their hands-on programs get you job-ready in months, not years. And yes, financial aid and grant opportunities are available for all students. Affordable, local, career-focused? Visit georgestonecollege.edu. That's georgestonecollege.edu and take the first step today. You can change your life at George Stone.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Symmetrical book stacking, just like the Philadelphia man's turbulence of 1947.
You're right, no human being would stack books like this.
Good morning, 7:23 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you on this Wednesday morning. In the newsroom, we have David Wayne's got a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning. The owners of Camp Mystic in Texas say it's going to reopen next summer. And that's, of course, where 27 young girls and counselors died at the summer camp in July when all that flooding hit the Texas Hill Country. The New York Times says that the owners announced that decision in emails sent earlier this week on Monday. One email went to the families of the girls that died. The other went to a larger group of past campers. Well, President Trump possibly suggesting that NATO nations shoot down Russian aircraft that enter their airspace, making that comment as he met with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the UN on Tuesday. Marked the fourth time the leaders have met since Trump returned to office as they look for an end to Ukraine's war with Russia.
Yeah, pretty sudden shift of tone on Russia and Ukraine yesterday, for sure. Big policy change from Trump.
Huge, absolutely. And Morgan Stanley now working to offer crypto trading to customers through its E-Trade division, according to a memo obtained by CNBC. Morgan Stanley is well underway in preparing to offer crypto trading through a partner model to E-Trade clients the first half of 2026.
Thanks so much, David. By the way, I like this change from Trump. I thought that he was mistaken before, but I think what he was trying to do is he thought he could wrap it up with his buddy Vlad and they could figure us out, and now Vlad's not playing. So, okay, I'm done with him. Here's what we're going to do instead. I like it. And by the way, the statement that he thinks we can get back all the territory that Russians took, I mean, including like Crimea. And I mean, that's bold, but okay, here we go. We'll see. 725 News Radio 92.3. Balls and Strikes coming up in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Yes, I do. Let's see here. We've got an earlier accident that happened on Davis Highway southbound. Traffic is backed up all the way to 9 Mile Road as you approach Olive Road and the I-10 westbound entrance due to an earlier accident. And let's see here, I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29 is seeing a delay there in that area. Also, let's see here, where was that? There we go. Avalon Boulevard southbound headed toward I-10. You see it about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 90 southbound heading into Pensacola, you're seeing about a 10 to 12 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. I know you saw the news that the major leagues are going to implement the same system that's been used somewhat in the minor leagues and was at the All-Star game of ball strikes challenges, meaning that the batter believes it was a ball, but the umpire called it a strike. He can tap his hat, and then they'll go to video review. The pitcher or the catcher. So either team can ask for a reversal. You get, what, two a game, but it's like the challenge flag. It only costs you if you get it wrong. So you get two per game. And I thought in the All-Star game, this system worked very well. John, you're a big baseball fan.
Yeah, it worked pretty well. I just, you know, the two, I think that there's more than two per game.
Oh, right.
It's going to be hard when. When do I use that? When do I use that challenge?
I know, they're so precious that it's hard to figure.
Exactly.
You know,
and then you look back and go, man, I should have used it, but I was saving it.
And somewhere around 50% of the challenges are successful. So it's actually not a very high probability thing. You know, but there are times when you're like, oh, man.
Right, exactly.
No, you got that wrong.
How many times we've been...
And we've gotten accustomed to seeing this in other sports. You know, tennis, obviously, is a good example. Football is still a little bit frustrating sometimes because you can't get the angle with all the bodies in the way and all that kind of stuff. But I'm actually a fan. The review system in baseball started when Galarraga didn't get his perfect game because of the blown call by Jim Joyce at first base. Like, this all happened because of a great injustice, great relatively speaking, in the world of sports, but still huge in that realm, right?
Why can't they, so if someone challenges, go to first or third like they normally do to get that ruling.
Yeah.
And then if they say, you know what, we're going to use that as a challenge.
What do you mean?
Okay, so like normally, like we do now, the batter.
For the check. Yeah. Check swing.
And so why not go to that umpire first, and then they say, no, you're wrong too, and then go to replay.
Yeah, well, I don't try. The first and third base don't have the angle on the plate.
No, something out there.
I mean, maybe go to the second base ump or something. You know, that might, but he's kind of far away. Okay, so I told you in preparation for this segment that I was going to tell you something you probably wouldn't want to hear. I suppose some of you will want to hear it. I hate to be the person to tell this news. I do. But I got into researching because I was kind of curious. You remember a couple of weeks ago, there was some stuff running around on social media about Jen Powell. She is the new female ump in major leagues, and about how she is not doing a good job. And there were some people who really, you know, sexist, who say, like, a woman can't do the job. And that's discouraging, because particularly being an umpire, what does it have to do with being a man or a woman? It's eyesight, and there's some physical endurance for sure. But it's, you know, big deal. I thought it was a good thing that we finally had a female ump. Every other sport had them, finally the major leagues. Okay, except for hockey, okay? There is a website, umpscorecards.com, that is extraordinarily detailed on the accuracy of all of the umpires.
There is?
Oh, yeah. Very detailed. This is how many pitches they've called. This is how many pitches they've gotten correct. This is how many pitches were marginal. There's even a stat on here for, it's a really fascinating stat. It's about the significance of your missed calls, because at any given number of outs and ball strike count, there is a certain statistical expectation of how many runs a team might score in that inning from that point. And then if the call goes the other way, what's the differential in expected statistical outcome of number of runs scored? two outs and a 3-2 count, okay? And the base is loaded. If you call that a ball, that's a run and still a potential to score more runs. If you call that a strike, the inning's over. So that's immediately a run plus the potential. You get the point? Okay.
Yeah.
So they have a whole system for not only whether the calls were accurate, but how much significance the calls you missed would have in the game in number of runs. And here's the thing I hate to tell you, but it is just true. Jen Powell is one of the worst umpires in the major leagues based on her current. She's called five games. She's called about 700 pitches, and her accuracy rate is 92%, 92.75. That makes her third worst in the major leagues. The range is anywhere up to like 96% down to like 90%. Bruce Dreckman and Rob Drake are the only ones worse than her. C.B. Buckner and Laz Diaz, who are two of the worst umpires in the league, are better than her, but only barely. They're like number four and five. And her significance impact is big, and the number of mistakes she's made is substantial, and it's well out of the range of normal. I hope they have more female umpires. I hope they do better, and I hope she does better. Might be just because she's new, but that's the truth as
Fox
of today.
News. I'm CJ Papa. President Trump posting on Truth Social. I can't believe ABC fake news gave Jimmy Kimmel his job back. Fox's Todd Pyro has more of what Kimmel said on ABC.
Emotional Jimmy Kimmel returning to late night last night, insisting he never intended to downplay the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
It was never my intention to make light of the murder of a young man.
But Kimmel did not offer a full apology for his incorrect assertion following the assassination of Kirk on September 10th. The fractured relationship between President Trump and Ukraine's leader Vladimir Zelensky is doing much better, and Zelensky believes Vladimir Putin played a major role.
The fact that Putin was lying to President Trump so many times also made a difference.
Zelensky on Fox's Special Report. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got a nice morning, 77 degrees here in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's in just a few minutes. An abandoned home on Gulf Beach Highway in Harris Street caught on fire yesterday. Escambia Fire Rescue crews were on that scene battling the fire about 10:30 last night. Nobody was found inside the home. There were no injuries reported. Right now, no word on what started that fire. Santa Rosa Island Authority Board set to vote on a proposal to expand their security camera installations across Pensacola Beach during a meeting today. This initiative would build on their previous agreement with the county and the sheriff's office and add 14 new multi-sensor cameras at key locations, including at Casino Beach and the boardwalk area. The overall project would cost just under $200,000, with the county contributing most of that. A Milton man was arrested for allegedly assaulting a pregnant woman and fleeing from police. 62-year-old Gary Deaver faces charges of aggravated battery and resisting an officer after police say they responded to a domestic battery incident. Officers say Deaver was fleeing on foot. Despite commands to stop, he climbed a fence and continued running. With the help of a canine unit, he was located hiding under a shed. Investigators say Deaver struck the pregnant victim multiple times. The victim had swelling on her face and abrasions on her knee and foot. Deaver's bond was set at $16,000. And officials do remind anybody that's experiencing domestic violence that help is available through local organizations such as the Favor House. NASCAR champion Kevin Harvick and his son Keelan will be racing at Five Flag Speedway this weekend. The father-son duo is competing against some of the nation's best super and pro late model drivers. The flag drops for their season-ending event on Saturday, September 27th. Well, Donald Trump's future presidential library will apparently be housed in Miami, downtown Miami. President Trump's team has been looking at Florida as the location for that for months. Eric Trump and his top advisor, Steve Witkoff, made some trips for site visits. The formal location will be on land currently owned by Miami-Dade College, adjacent to Freedom Tower, located on the city's downtown waterfront. The Trump team hoping it can be part of a bigger development that would include a adjacent hotel. Well, an Orange County school being accused of promoting witchcraft. That's what the Liberty Council said this week in a letter it sent to Orange County Public Schools. The Christian nonprofit sent the letter in response to a video series called Witchy Wednesday that first aired at an unidentified OCPS high school 2 weeks ago. According to the letter, which he Wednesday offered students religious instruction on spells, magic, moon worship, and other witchcraft rituals, the Liberty Council says the district warned the district that the instruction has to be voluntary, that it's illegal to deny Christian students a similar chance to share their beliefs. The letter is asking that school district to respond by next week. 735 at News Radio, 92.3. John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Avoid Davis Highway at all costs between 9 Mile and Olive Road. You definitely want to avoid it. It's basically a parking lot right now. Traffic is backed up all the way to 9 Mile Road. And Olive Road also is a mess also due to an earlier accident that happened right before you get to the I-10 westbound ramp. And if you're trying to get off at Davis Highway, and let's see here, the right lane is completely just a parking lot, I was told, and traffic is backed up way past 9 Mile, almost making it to Scenic. So that's going to be another nightmare in itself. Let's see here, I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, seeing some major delays through that construction zone and congestion, so just be prepared for that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We do have a beautiful day in store today with a 20% chance of a stray shower, high near 87. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77 degrees. For Thursday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 85. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Going into Friday, another 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 86. And by Friday night, temperatures dropping near 68. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 77 right now, partly cloudy. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. YouTube said it will soon allow previously banned accounts to apply for reinstatement, rolling back a policy that had treated violations as permanent. Officials said the change applies to channels removed for posting COVID-19 or election-related misinformation. Eli Lilly said it will spend $6.5 billion to build a manufacturing facility in Houston, Texas, to boost production of the company's pipeline of small molecule drugs, including its closely watched experimental obesity pill. It is the second in a string of four new planned U.S. plants by the drug maker, which will all begin making medicine within 5 years. Fed Chair Jerome Powell said that weakness in the labor market is outweighing concerns about stubborn inflation, leading to a decision to lower the central bank's key interest rate last week. Powell is presiding over a Fed that has come under intense criticism from the White House. Futures are slightly higher. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 88, the NASDAQ down 215. That's Your Money Now.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thanks, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve, especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions, because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:40 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and joining us now, as he does, you know, every Wednesday at this time, Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andrew. Good morning.
Always good to have you. So let's talk about Baptist, because I think since we last talked, there has been, things happen. The county finally moved and decided that they were going to fund $500,000 to purchase these two out parcels. Or acquire these two out parcels, which are going to be used for a community center and some kind of health care. You have said, and you repeated yesterday, that that's all fine and good, but I wonder if we can't maybe sell them for more money directly and recoup some of the delta cost of the $2 million that is not being paid for into the cost of the demolition. You seem to indicate that we could go one way or the other. We're going to go down both paths at the same time. Anything I'm misunderstanding here?
No, that sounds about right. I mean, we're in conversation with the county. And again, let's delineate between contribution to the project and a property transaction. We are now in the property transaction phase. You know, there was no contribution necessarily to the project, which is where we are. I think we need to assess it before I go back to our council members and our citizens and say, hey, we have to come up with additional dollars out of the CRA or anywhere else. The whole idea of this conversation about adding additional parcels was in anticipation of a delta. So it would be fiscally responsible of us to say, how much money can these buildings get on the market versus what the positive community impact would be of these other two buildings. So in no way are we ruling that out. And I think there is positive community impact as proposed, but I'm going to be very focused on performance, meaning it's great to talk about a community center. It's great to talk about healthcare. How quickly is that going to be happening? Because if it's going to take, if it's just selling a building to the county and it's going to take 5 years for that to come to fruition, then I think the community's much better off going ahead and closing the delta in tax revenue and moving along with the larger project. So that's why I say the kind of the devil's in the details on this.
Yeah.
So we certainly appreciate some offer of trying, something that could be good for the surrounding area, but we have more assessment to do, and we got to just see, again, what the details are and what that looks like, really more than it is the actual dollars itself.
Yeah, I mean, if I don't know what the, assessed value of these properties is, but if you can sell them for $1 million and somebody's willing to develop them into whatever they develop them into, and that's, $1 million to help defray the cost of the demolition that the county was unwilling to give the $2 million for that they kind of originally hinted at or indicated at, yeah, I mean, I get that as a decision. We'd all like to have a bunch of things. It's a question of what we can afford to make happen. Speaking of that, something came up yesterday, and the audio was just so bad I haven't been able to play it. The quality just wasn't working on this particular part of the conversation. But I did hear you say, when asked, how the building is going to get demolished, whether it's going to be by, explosives or wrecking ball, or they're going to bring in the, the AC-130 from Hurlburt to do target practice with the 105mm of justice. I know that's not going to happen, but a boy can dream. that you said you didn't know how the thing was going to get demolished and you'd get back. Have you had a chance to find out?
I haven't, but, I was laughing in our office yesterday. I said 10-year-old me would be very disappointed. That would have been my first question.
Yeah, right.
That's
right. How did you get so old, DC?
$17 million and all this boring stuff. How big is the wrecking ball that's going to go? Which window will be first?
Right.
And let me clarify. We collectively, the city, everybody on the project certainly knows granularly how this is going to go. I just mean off the top of my head, whether there'd be this part would be imploded or this part would be wrecking ball. What I can tell you right now is, number one, we've been so focused on capital stacking and getting us ready to go that we really haven't asked. I haven't asked those questions. But secondly, obviously, this is going to be completely already spelled out in the winning bid and all of that. So that answer exists. It's just not necessarily in my brain at the moment. Other than this, then this is what's important. There will be several months of remediation. So it will not be, hey, we hit the button in December and a building starts to come down. Anytime you've ever seen these types of demolitions with asbestos, with things like that, then that's what makes it so expensive. I mean, to put it simply, you basically have to almost bag up the entire parcel, you know, so that those things don't get airborne, and then you've got to remediate. So I can guarantee you that the first huge chunk of time is going to be on that before we think of the, you know, the 10-year-old me version of how the actual structure will come down.
And including, by the way, as you've mentioned a couple of times, that the concrete crushing will take place off-site instead of right there in the middle of the community, which is a good note. And also, just you mentioned it there briefly, but let's make sure people heard, the intended timeline is December. Like, by the end of the year, the towers in the main hospital won't exist anymore. That's the goal, right?
Well, it will begin. It will begin by then. So, I mean, it's going to be – demo is going to be a long process. It'll be throughout 2026.
Not if you use the ships from Hurlburt, it won't. It will not be a long process. I'm kidding.
You know what? We should have thought of that. Yeah, we should have thought of the missile theory. We save a lot of money. Oh, you know,
Eglin, no test range. Come on, baby. You know, exactly. I know it's not possible, but again, a boy can dream. So
creative thinking in city government.
Right. Again, our 10-year-old selves are very disappointed that we didn't pursue this more eagerly. We're talking to D.C. Exactly. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola. Hang on for just a second. We got John Pickens, traffic on the fives.
All right. Highway 90 southbound is backed up due to the mess that's happening on Davis Highway. Davis Highway is backed up from 9 Mile all the way through Olive Road and also through I-10 due to an earlier accident. Also, East Olive Road heading eastbound is backed up also. And let's see here. We just got this text. Slow moving on westbound I-10 from 9th Avenue overpass to at least I-10 as a result of everything that's going on with Davis Highway and the I-110 southbound flyover construction. So just pack your patience with that and just pack it. Just go an alternate route. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. You know, just on that note, I'm trying to think where the city line is. I think that is county right there. But we had it's a common enough thing. It was a bicyclist. Based on everything, John was there right when it happened or right after it happened.
Yes.
And this was a bicyclist, it looks like, was in the middle of the night, 4 a.m., riding across Davis Highway, which is a very common place for people to cross. You know, people, vagrants cross there all the time. But it's not just there. But, Mr. Mayor, we see this where bicyclists and pedestrians still in our town do incredibly risky, dangerous things crossing roads, terrifying drivers and being hit by drivers a lot of the time. You got a lighting study that you guys are working on. Is that adequate? I mean, to me, it's a mindset thing. I don't want the border wall down Cervantes everywhere, but like, I don't know how to fix this either.
Yeah, and you know what? And I think we probably spin in the hamster wheel for a while if we were to talk about how we can control individual behavior, be it a pedestrian or a driver. I mean, let's talk about red light cameras. You know, there's lots of stupid decisions we see on those cameras, right? Will we be able to ever stamp out the lack of common sense as it pertains to those things? No. But I think that's why there's so much conversation around the built environment as its best way to mitigate. So whether that's better lighting, what's the best we can do? What's the best consolation prize to controlling individuals' lack of common sense as it pertains to decisions they make? I think it's to mitigate the risk by making that sidewalk a little bit wider, making that bike lane a little bit more protected. Those types of things that can kind of protect us from ourselves as much as it can make us more comfortable to ride our bikes or walk with our children along a busier street. And, you know, and you've heard me say this so many times on the show, we spent 100 years building for the car and the thousands before that building for the pedestrian.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we're paying for some of that. We need cars. We don't have a subway system here. We need vehicles to be able to move efficiently. But we might have kind of jumped the shark, so to speak, over several generations of how efficiently they need to move in comparison to pedestrian or bicycle safety. So I think that's our task, Andrew, is just to say, listen, you know, how do we lower risk? How do we improve safety outcomes? And if someone's going to still go across eight lanes of road where they aren't supposed to, that's unfortunate, but I don't know that we'd ever be able to control that fully, as you can imagine.
And they 100% are, and I agree with you. There's very little to be done about it. Although I will say, it was nice of you to break some news telling me that you are advocating for the Pensacola subway system. So, okay, we'll look forward to more details soon. American Cruise Lines. I think it's cool that a cruise ship is coming here. It's a small cruise ship. I think it's like 180 people or something like that. The price tag on this thing that's going to go from New Orleans to Pensacola and stop in Biloxi and other scenic points between is $5,000. Good Lord. But maybe this is a kind of a compliment to us?
Yeah. Listen, I think so. There's a lot of misperception about, you know, I see obviously the conversation about, well, how expensive it is and why would someone only want to go to Pensacola to New Orleans? Well, both of those questions can be answered pretty simply, which is no cruise line that I've ever heard of necessarily picks their arrival or departure destinations based on solely the local market. Obviously, this is where someone to fly into and to fly out of. And for us, you know, first of all, what a compliment that someone, you know, a private company would want to take on financial risk and say, hey, your city is attractive enough for outside visitors to want to spend an extra day here before or after a very expensive cruise. I think that's a compliment to us, right? I mean, they can pick lots of cities to do this, and they do. So when we had our initial meeting, and the fact that, you know, I think the other thing forgotten here is, you know, Andrew, one of my big FAQs as mayor always is, well, why don't we get a big cruise line? Well, we waved bye-bye to that decision probably 40 years ago if we would need to have built a terminal, because now you would have to spend the amount of money that the large cruise lines would require you to put in an infrastructure is outrageous. I mean, it'd basically be like, build a new airport for us and maybe we'll come there. So that's not really feasible. So the fact that this size cruise line could do it under the existing infrastructure, I mean, you're going to load up at Plaza de Luna.
That's cool.
As simple as that.
Yeah.
So it's not like we've got to go build a parking garage and a terminal and all of that. So, I mean, from our position, why would we not want people that would want to come in and come out of, of a city? And again, you know, you don't, every cruise we've ever been on, we didn't say, I'm going to stay a week in Fort Lauderdale, or it's only for Fort Lauderdale people, or Miami people. This is meant to be, and again, that's the compliment I take is, you know, what a great thing for our market, or what a compliment to our market that someone called us. We didn't call them. They called us and said, man, we think this will be a great stop for us in and out. And of course we hear that and we say, amazing, we'd love for you to bring tourists that with disposable income that want to come support our local businesses.
The cruise to Aruba is not for Arubans. That's a great point. It's a compliment to Aruba and that people want to go there. Hey, hang on for me for just a second, Mr. Mayor.
We do have a breaking news update this morning, seeing reports of one person dead, at least three critically wounded. This is in Dallas, Texas, at an ICE facility there in Dallas, Texas. The suspect was reportedly seen on a roof near the facility. He's being described by local news reports in Texas as being a sniper. Now, that suspect has reportedly also died after a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Again, these reports are just starting to come out now, so we will have more information on this with Fox News, of course, at the top of the hour, and we'll be following this story as well. For now, Andrew, back to you.
All right. Thanks so much, David. I appreciate that. Back to Mr. Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, obviously, you know that there was an article in the paper in the PNJ that comes out that says you, our mayor, and our District 2 representative, Alex Andrade, don't get along, haven't talked to each other a lot. I find this very frustrating. I consider you both very good friends. I admire both of you. I respect both of you, your abilities as legislators or as, you know, executives. And I find it frustrating when my good friends don't get along with each other. Can you, I don't know, what's going on? Can you clarify?
Yeah, listen, I think on the outside, I can understand that frustration. You know, all I've said in the article, and remember, I mean, when I hear about these things, it's through the media, right? So not a phone call, not a text, not a, hey, let's catch up type of thing if there's a concern. And so, you know, and remember, this is spurred by 7 phone calls and 7 letters to our city council saying, why don't you get a say? Now, but the irony of that is I have a great working relationship with all 7 of our council members. So what do you think when they think something might be amiss or there's a concern, what did they do? They all emailed me, called me, and said, "Hey, why are we being why are we getting this letter? Like, this is odd." And so whether we agree or we disagree, that's what I mean by functional communication. Every other person, every other disagreement, if it's Mike Kohler, if it's Michelle Salzman, if it's Senator Gates, this is the only outlier where it doesn't get handled that way. And so I agree. I'm happy to have whatever conversation needs to be had, but. When we start from the place of we're going to run to the media to have a complaint, or we're going to circumvent the normal functional communication in order to accomplish some political goal or to make some point, then it's kind of broken from there. And that's not certainly something I do. I don't call you if I have an issue with Representative Andrade or anyone else. I try to deal with it, whether I agree or disagree, in kind of a more professional way. So I think that's all I'd ask for. And I've had the same phone number since I was 16 years old. I mean, he knows exactly where to get a hold of me. And you're right, for the better of the city, the same way I called him on election night, say, hey, for the betterment of the city, we should be working together. And then, 6 months later, the media gets called about an issue. And then that I hear about it through the media. So,
I'm going to tell you same thing that I'll tell Alex. I know Alex listens to the show as well. Please guys figure it out. I know not everybody can get along, but please guys figure it out, because for the good of the community, I think that it's better if, all of our leaders can get along. I know they cannot always, but I hope that you will. Let's finish as we always do with the lightning round. I've got one for you today that you're going to like. It's the last one. But before we get to that, it was National Cheeseburger Day recently. If you had only a burger with cheese and no other toppings, what is your cheese?
Oh man, that is a mood based decision. I would say either cheddar or Jack, depends on how I'm feeling.
All right. I got you. If there were ever going to be an actor who is well known enough to be elected president, who would that be? If you had to guess, we had a Reagan, of course, but who would it be? Schwarzenegger's not eligible. What person, just because they're an actor, has enough positive cred they can get elected?
Well, if Chris Farley was still with us, I feel like he'd be the,
That'd be the Robin Williams Man of the Year candidate, right? We elected the comedian because he's a comedian. Okay, I got you.
Right, exactly. I mean, I think, listen, in this political climate, anything is believable. I think you could come up with just about anybody.
And the last one, and here I have to tell you to be brief because we're out of time. Are you or a no on the two review ball strike requests in the major leagues that they're going to implement next year?
Let's go ahead and do it. I mean, it's 2025. Let's get it right. Let's not lose a playoff game over this scenario.
I figured you'd be there as a former sports guy, but I just wanted to check. Very good. Mayor D.C. Reeves, as always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
All right. Absolutely. Thanks.
John Pickens now has traffic for you. John?
Well, we're still dealing with an earlier accident that happened on Davis Highway as you approach the I-10 westbound ramp. Those two lanes on the furthest side are closed, and traffic is backed up all the way to 9 Mile Road as of right now. And also, if you're on I-10 westbound from all the way from Scenic all the way through Davis, it's causing some delays there also as people try to manage their way around this. It was an earlier accident that happened at 4 a.m. this morning. So we will keep attention on that. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing about a 9 to 11 minute delay through that construction zone. And also Highway 90 southbound headed toward Pensacola, we're seeing about a 12 to 15 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Join Adana with Mathnasium this Friday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. If you have school-age kids, you won't want to miss this show. Whether your child is catching up, keeping up, or ready to get ahead, Mathnasium has a solution tailored just for them. They are not just teaching math, they're changing lives through it. Dive into the world of Mathnasium Friday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Yeah. You see, we're putting the cover sheets on all TPS reports now before they go out. Did you see?
the memo about this?
7:59 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I hate to talk over Tina Turner, but David Wayne is in the newsroom with an update. Do you have anything more for us on this reported shooting at the ICE facility in Texas?
Well, the early reports are that three people have been critically wounded, and the one person, I believe, was confirmed dead. That may be the shooter that's confirmed dead. The victims were in ICE custody. The shooter was found on the roof of a nearby immigration attorney's office and shot himself when confronted. And that's really all we've got so far, but we'll be following throughout the day.
All right, so this looks like he killed people who were in custody at ICE? That's who it seems like he shot?
That's what this report is saying, but it is so early in this situation
everything will change in the next hour or 2 hours for sure. All right, well, thank you for keeping us updated. I'm sure we'll hear more top of the hour from Fox. David, thanks so much for the update.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.